Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacey
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Here we go now.
First, Kalen DeBoer, now Troy Dannon. What is going on at Washington? News this morning from Pete Thamel. Nebraska finalizing a six-year deal to make Washington athletic director Troy Dannon the school's athletic director out there at Nebraska. This move comes less than 6 months after Dannon accepted the job with the Huskies. We'll talk about why and what it means for Washington. Before we do, though, you know, I gotta say, Bump, you and Curtis, not especially kind about this news this morning.
What are they gonna do? I feel so bad for you guys.
Bow down. I'm sensing it from you guys. I'm sensing some of that real empathy just emanating from the two of you. You know, I am surprised by this news. It's left me more thinking, like, why?
Yeah.
Less about, like, what's it mean for Washington, which is an important question that we'll talk about, and more like, why is everyone on the run out of Washington? I can see a head football coach wanting to go coach at Bama, an extra million a year, amazing recruiting, SEC. I get it. I can see a former Midwesterner wanting to go to Nebraska. Like, I can see all the reasoning, but Washington is not a destination for these guys.
No, but before I dive into the why, just let me say, you know, I'm a note taker. I got to take notes. The memory isn't the best at times. My wife looks at my notes. She goes, "Do you really use all those notes?" I go, "Yes, babe. I use every single one of those notes." And the big note I have on my iPad right now is the rain is over. You know how long? The last 2-3 years, purple rain this, purple rain that, and for good reason. They've been balling. That football team was balling. Big ups to all those guys. Odunze is going to get drafted, Michael Penix, Troy, all those guys, nothing but love for them, but the rain is over. So now let's figure out why the rain is over. Now, I go to a lot of Washington State events, and you're supported by your alum, the boosters, administration, anyone who's gone to that university who decides to give back and create the culture of your university. When I see people dipping like this, the first thing I think of is, what's the culture like? And when you think of culture, you think of, to start the school year, the football sets the tone. I don't care if you don't like football. I don't care if you don't like that reality. It is what it is. In this country, football sets the tone for your school, unless you're talking about Duke, and even Duke has a good football team now and then, even North Carolina does. But football sets the tone. So I start thinking about the relationships that these ADs, these presidents, these head coaches have with the people who make up the culture of a university, which are the people who go there, the students, and the people who donate and show up to these events. Something must be off. Now, we talk about Dannon and his deal. He's going to Nebraska. And for him, you pointed it out, right? A guy from the Midwest would want to go to Nebraska. He's from Iowa. His wife's family is from Iowa. He spent some time in Tulane, not really the Midwest, but is Tulane the Midwest? Where is Tulane? Where is that?
Tulane's
in
New Orleans.
New Orleans, yeah. So it's down south, but
southeast.
But he spent some time in the region. His family is from there. And then Nebraska football. As great as UW football has been the last couple of years, Nebraska just has a tradition that UW doesn't necessarily have. Now, I know we're going to get the texters, but what about 91 and all that stuff?
What about
I get it. Good years. UW has had.
I was born then.
Good years. But Nebraska is just Nebraska football. 1997 national championship. Even though their last conference championship was in 2012, they have produced great players. Amon Green, Neil Smith. You got Sue, Levante David. Eric Crouch, there's just a lot that comes with Nebraska football and the prestige that UW is trying to get to is Nebraska football. So I understand all of that. But when you're only in a place for 6 months and your coach, head football coach, takes just $1 million more to go to Alabama, you look at the places they're going and you're saying, richer tradition. Mm-hmm. Understand why they would go there. UW just isn't there yet, and they got a long ways to go. But I think the last 2 years convinced people that they were closer to being that type of program than they really are.
Well, not just the last 2 years, but Troy Dannon himself from his introductory press conference.
I'm not going to move again, you know, God willing, president willing.
Well, you did, Troy. So That sounds a little bit weird now, but Pete Thamel, who broke the news, joined Brock and Salk this morning to talk about what it probably meant for Troy.
I think it's pretty simple. Troy Dannon is of the Midwest. He was the AD at Northern Iowa for 8 years, and that's where his family is from. That's where his wife's family is from. And, you know, if you grow up in the Midwest in college athletics, you know, Nebraska is a destination. And, obviously the timing is not great, right? Like that's a very obvious thing. I just think in this era of college athletics, we're all free agents. And, you know, this was an opportunity from what sources told me that Troy Dannon saw as a way to get home to a destination job.
Sure. So returning home for Kalen DeBoer, it's going to coach the most prestigious football program in the country. I get all of it. Washington needs to find someone who's going to want to stay here. I don't know if that answer for the football program at head coach is going to be Jed Fish. I'm going to assume that he goes and takes that Florida job whenever that opens up. But either way, they need to find an AD. They need to find someone whose goal it is to make this school the best it can be and this athletic department the best it can be. Like, this needs to be someone's final destination.
Yeah, and that's where I feel for the athletes. Yes, I'm a Cougar. Obviously, I'm going to rep my colors till I die. But I also am real and think about these athletes over there, and there hasn't been much stability the last 6 to 8 months. I look at UW and I see that this is a little bit of humble pie, and yes, Danny's going to a place where he's from, where he feels like he belongs. I'm sure he washed up watching Nebraska play football, and let's not forget wifey plays a big role in what a man does in his life if he's married. I don't make any big decisions without talking to my wife. And I'm sure it's the same thing for him. He got that offer. He spoke to the wife. The wife was like, man, I would love to go back there. I would love to be back home where I'm comfortable, where the family is. And that played a big role in it. What I don't want to hear is just the slander on Danny for making that move, for Danny making that move. Because I think that if you were, say, from the Southeast region and you had a job out west, and a university down south offered you the same position, maybe at the same rate or even getting paid a bit more, you're going to consider that. These are decisions that people make for themselves and their families. I understand what position it puts UW in, but UW is going to be fine, I think. I think that hopefully this kind of alerts the alum and the boosters and everyone that is involved in creating this culture and says we have to do more to keep guys, or like you said, find the guy or girl who wants to be here for 5 to 10 years.
Well, and you need to build up your program. Like, it's kind of like you can only point the finger so many times before you have to accept that some programs are just more storied than yours. And I accept that as a Husky. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. But there are things that have played a role in Washington becoming what it is, and that until Washington improves, and that's going to be really, really tough in the Big Ten, but hey, it's an uphill battle that I'm looking forward to watching.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really get upset about it.
No. You know what I'm loving right now? I'm loving the text lines.
Why?
This is typical UWers right here. Like, they're just flabbergasted of why he would leave, and you guys are talking about UW like they're not good. No one's saying they're not good. Everyone is saying that, or we're saying that, they just aren't at the prestige as some of these programs, even if they've gone to the college football playoffs in recent years. There's just more work to do, is all I'm saying, at least. And it's satisfying at times to have UW get humbled a little bit and say, this ain't a destination job yet. Could it be? UW is set up to be that. All the resources that they have, you're on the West Coast, everyone's moving to Washington, you got Amazon, you got all these companies over here, it's set up for UW to succeed, but you got to have the right people in place to kind of lead the charge and be committed to this whole thing. When you lose your head coach to Bama, understandable. When you lose your AD to Nebraska, understandable. It's just a reminder that there's work to do. And for the past 2 years, man, I've had to deal with so many UW fans just walking around with their nose up and talking so much trash to Wazoo. Like, we're even contenders. Like, y'all even, like, we're still living rent-free in your brain for some reason. So it's unfortunate, because I'd never want to see the demise of anybody, any organization, any university, because I'm a human being and I understand that there are people involved in that. But it also humbles a fan base and say, all right, let's make a better decision, or at least the organization, let's make better decisions when it comes to finding people who are UW kind of people. That's why basketball, go ahead and get Brandon Roy to coach your basketball team. You get Brandon Roy to coach your basketball team, he ain't going nowhere. He's from Seattle. He's a UW type of guy. Those are the dudes that you need.
And that's also kind of what I'm pushing for as a UW alum, is like, do what you can to treat your program as though you have the expectations that it be the best program. Can you think, well, your school is, you know, this prestigious example of athletic excellence when you let Mike Hopkins sit there and underperform because you didn't want to, you know, get your boosters to pay for a buyout or whatever it was? You know what I mean? It's like, you need to kind of meet your own expectations and set them a little bit higher. There's so much talent coming out of the state, so much talent in men's hoops and in football coming out of the West Coast in California. Then be great. And again, there's also context for the departure of Kalen DeBoer and the departure of Troy Dannon that has nothing to do with Washington, that was out of Washington's control, right? That being Alabama and that being Troy Dannon's, you know, going back to his roots. So not in your control. No. You can't turn yourself into the Midwest when you're Seattle. However, you can make yourself a premier destination. And it's just going to take kind of meeting your own expectations, hiring the right people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to hire the right people for the job. And Dannon was the right person for that job. Qualify. You see what he did with Tulane? I mean, since he's left, they've been to several bowl games. Hiring DeBoer was a great, great decision, right? Fresno State built his way up, took UW to places that they haven't been in a long time. But just like WSU has to deal with that kind of stuff, like Kyle Smith, I'm so scared that Kyle Smith is going to leave. I'm so scared he's going to leave. And he's a Pullman type of guy. But when opportunities present themselves and you feel like it's the right situation, guys are going to leave. So it's just a reminder. Someone said, oh, this is why I don't listen to Bump. He's a homer. You know how much love I give UW? I give UW so much love that when I go to WSU events, guys are like, hey, man, we love you, but chill on the UW love. But I'm real. And that's the issue. The only issue I really have with UW fans is that they're not realistic sometimes. It's like, for some reason, they think, why would you ever want to leave UW? Because there are other opportunities. You're not Bama. You're not Georgia. You're not Notre Dame. And that's okay. It's still a great university. You still put together two great years, and DeBoer did a great job doing that. But this is just a reminder that sometimes you got to go with some local ties, because local ties got Dannon to Nebraska. Now, just being in a baller program got DeBoer to Alabama.
Mm-hmm. 509. So 509 is not the only one to say that part of it is like the politics of Washington State. I don't know how much that matters. I do think it matters to people who might be politically drastically different. Like, if you are a hard line conservative, yeah, Washington's a blue state. Seattle's a very blue city. Maybe you don't feel that comfortable. Washington State is also no income tax. And if it's a job that you think is a premier destination for you, little else matters. When your world is sports, little else matters.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that that's not potentially a factor. I just think it's the same kind of argument people make about, like, why free agency can be tough. Like, oh, well, maybe they don't want to come here because of the culture. Ah, I don't know that that matters in that many places. Money talks, opportunity talks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's always what I thought
100%,
about
100%, Stace.
I know. It is still shocking the short period of time that he was here. Less than 6 months on the job after saying, like, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. This is the last stop. This is it for me. It's imperative for, I think, moving forward, Washington, to not bring on people that are going to be short-term fixes, people with long histories of bouncing from school to school and team to team. Mm-hmm. You know, like, again, I am not confident that I think Jed Fish can do some good things with his football program. I am not confident in the slightest that he's not going to move on to a Florida job once it becomes available.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I would hope that the AD who's hired, that the men's hoops coach who's hired, is someone that has some staying power.
Yeah, it's everyone's situation is different, and relationships matter. Where you are in the country matters, and we're seeing that here. I want to respond to one more text. I'm loving it. I love when UW fans get all riled up. Mm-hmm. I love it. One guy says, "All bump, you're throwing a blanket over all UW fans. We're all like that." True. WSU fans get a blanket thrown over them all the time. We're all alcoholics.
Yeah, I make jokes about that all the
time. We're all alcoholics, right?
It's a rivalry.
One of my employees at my Elite Training Academy holla at me. Went to WSU, played football, never had a sip of alcohol his whole life. But we take it, we wear it. That's just what we're known for.
That's the stereotype. Yeah. I mean, I lean into it sometimes with like, "Oh, I'm so pretentious, a double major." Like, you need to be able to take the joke too. But again, it's a rivalry. This is how I felt when I was making fun of Wazoo, and still we were shooting shots at each other, being like, "Oh, well, not like the Cougs," when it was after the complete dissolution of the Pac-12 and people were like, "Stacey, now's not the time." What do you mean, now's not the time?
Yeah, it's always the time.
It's a rivalry.
It's always the time.
It's been going on for a century. What do you mean? But yeah, I think it's, you know, this is why I listen to sports radio. For takes like yours, Bump, it doesn't matter whether or not you fully agree with it. It's honest. That is how you authentically feel about it. And hey, it's better than just sitting here going, "It's interesting. We'll see what happens with UW." So I'll give you that. Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
Headline number one, the Seahawks are adding veteran defensive tackle Jonathan Hankins on a one-year deal. He comes from the Cowboys. What's the real headline?
Seahawks fans doing a lot of Googling in free agency, something tells me.
Yeah, that search engine is getting work this week. But Hankins, he's a good guy, man. He's a good football player. Started 14 games for the Cowboys in 2023. Was a second-round pick in 2013. So he's a little long in the tooth, 31 years old. Also played for the Raiders and the Colts. For the Cowboys, he played a little bit of tilt. That's that one tech where your butt is kind of slanted to the side a bit. Also played the three tech. Just a stout guy. He plays a position that people don't really recognize unless you're Chris Jones or you're Aaron Donald or someone extremely dominant like that. You need a guy like Jonathan to take on the double teams, beast out of the offensive line of scrimmage. This is a good move, even if you don't know who he is.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two. In the wee hours of the morning, the Dodgers beat the Padres 5-2 in Seoul, South Korea to open up baseball's regular season. I think that game got underway at 3 a.m. Pacific time. What's the real headline?
You're a sicko if you got up for this one and you need help. If you are listening right now and you have been up for 7 hours because you got up to watch
by
this
choice,
game.
Not by choice.
No, not, you know, like you couldn't sleep and let's see what's going on. I mean, you were like, "I'm going to set my alarm because I got to watch the Dodgers in South Korea at 3 a.m. Seek
Bump,
help.
You're a Dodgers fan.
Yeah.
Did you catch any of this game?
Well, I'm going to save my true response because there's a segment coming up where I might be talking about this a bit.
Oh, get off my lawn at 10:45?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But, you know, Shohei, what, had two hits, and Dodgers came back and beat the Padres. But if you're up that early for baseball, which I know there are people out there
for
who get
sport.
Up
to
any sport, right?
I was going to say, if the combine was at 3, if the NFL draft was at 3 a.m.,
I'd be up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a sicko. Yeah. That's what you need help. Seek help.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three. It's free agency news in the NFL. The Jets have added another wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. Former Chargers wideout Mike Williams is joining New York. What's the real headline?
Another weapon for Aaron Rodgers to blame when things go wrong.
That's what you're signing up for.
Yeah, just get another target there. Now, I, in theory, Aaron Rodgers to Mike Williams can be a deadly combination. I love that combination on paper. Aaron Rodgers in his career trajectory has been so hard to predict lately.
Yeah, Mike Williams is going to be a great addition there. $15 million. It was between the Jets and the Steelers, and I think the Jets just threw more money at Mike Williams. And also, you got Aaron Rodgers over there. The Steelers, you're not sure what you're going to get out of Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. But I like this move, man. The Jets have been active this free agency.
Yeah, the Jets, the Texans. You talked about the Steelers yesterday. There's an obvious team. Oh, the Eagles have been really active.
Commanders.
Yeah, and again, free agency isn't even the primary way that you want to build up your team. I know that some Seahawks fans have been disappointed with the lack of recognizable names that the team is adding and with the real question marks that this team has at a couple position groups. And we're going to talk about that a little bit coming up in about 10 minutes. But overall, like, I don't look at the team's that spend the most in free agency and say they just became contenders.
No, everyone's a contender in March. And you get closer to the regular season, you see who's healthy, you're watching the progression of things, maybe get a peek into the preseason and see what guys are doing. But right now, everyone is a contender. If we were making predictions off of moves, the Commanders are going to the Super Bowl because they made the most moves out there. The Texans are going to the Super Bowl because they added. But you know how this game goes, man. You got to have the right chemistry. Your coaches got to be on point. Guys got to stay healthy. But this is the fun part of the offseason is that it leaves so much to be discussed when it comes to speculating who's going to do what, which quarterback's going to match up with a receiver, which coordinators can get the most out of their quarterbacks. This is the fun part, man, because everybody has a shot, and that's what these organizations are selling to these guys and saying, look, we're going to team you up with this guy and this guy. We're looking at the division. Yeah, man, this is fun, but nah, you got to play the games.
Heading back to the Mac and Jack's text line for some more reaction on Troy Dan and leaving for Nebraska, 425. With Dan and leaving, I'm thinking UW just doesn't value college sports as much as other schools. ADs and coaches can feel that. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I just think that the two schools we've seen them leave for, one was those local hometown ties and a program that I'm guessing Troy Dan watched a ton as when he was younger. And then also with Bama, no. The fan base, the boosters, the investments are not nothing compared to the rabid investment and boosters and fan base for Bama. It is different. The culture is different.
The culture is different. And coaching or leading a program that you watch growing up as a child that you have a connection to, it's like a dream job. It's like when guys get drafted to the NFL or what, Kenny Pickett going to Philadelphia. He should have stayed in Pittsburgh because he ain't getting no playing time over there in Philly. But he went there because he felt like it was a good situation and he grew up rooting for the Eagles. There is an emotional connection that I think people forget about. And it's real. And I think we're seeing that with the AD leaving and going to Nebraska.
Well, what's it mean for Washington, especially in their coach for a new search for a new men's basketball coach? Huskies insider Christian Capel is going to join us in about an hour and a half to answer a lot of those questions. We're going to talk March Madness coming up at 11. Before we do, speaking of free agents, what are the Seahawks doing? That's next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
One of my all-time favorite sound bites is the what's going on in Utah? What is happening with Brian Windhorst wondering what's going on with the Jazz? And that's kind of how people are feeling about the Seahawks right now. Why would they do that? A lot of one-year deals. Why would they do that? Shil Kapadia, we had him on the other day, and we were asking him about Seattle's free agency. He had this to say.
I think you want to set the floor in terms of, let's make sure we have competency at kind of every starting spot. You know, I think GMs, ideally, they want to go into the draft feeling like, hey, if we need to play a game, you know, the Sunday before the draft, we can go ahead and do that. It doesn't mean the roster's finished. It doesn't mean you love everyone you have at every position, but it's not like you're going out there where some of these positions are just going to be complete disasters. So, yeah, I thought that made sense.
Bump, I'm telling you right now that if you ask John Schneider, hey, what's the plan this year? He'd say win a Super Bowl. What it feels like, though, with their actions is what Shale said. Create a competent team to build on in 2025.
Yeah, that's why we're seeing all these one-year deals, which I like, really. I'm looking at the moves that these guys are making, and it reminds me of the later rounds of my fantasy draft where you're like, oh, okay, this guy's a bye week eight, so let me fill in this gap. I just want to make sure that all my slots are filled when it comes to my team so that if anything happens, we're good and we're covered. I'm not just picking random guys. There are guys that I feel I can contribute, but I'm not expecting too much out of them, but I know that I can get something out of them. And every now and then, you get that guy who exceeds all your expectations, and now he's in your starting lineup. He's a main contributor. You can count on him. That's what I'm seeing with these moves here. All these guys can play some football. Let's not get it twisted. I watch film on every guy that they picked up. They can play. Are they going to impress you with a Bobby Wagner 90-yard interception for a touchdown? Are they going to impress you with a plethora of pancake blocks? No, not necessarily, but these are all guys who can do their jobs. And these are all guys that the staff believes in. Now, it could be out of what's available, right? Because the top 100, I looked at the top 100 free agents, about 90% of them are gone already. Mm-hmm. And we knew the Hawks weren't really going to go after those guys. Top 15 free agent was Leonard Williams. You sign him. So you're in the party. You're at the dance for the top 100. Now you got to get guys who just fit the personality of your program and how you want your offense and defense to be ran. Like a guy like Tremaine that you got from the Rams. Only started 3 games last year, but I think this staff is looking at guys who they feel like they can develop. Yesterday we talked about why quarterbacks aren't doing well in this league, and I think you and I are on the same page where, all right, well, they're getting to the league, they're asked to produce right now, and the development isn't really there. That's not for all organizations and all coaches. That's just a trend that we're seeing. I'm looking at these moves, and I'm saying, all right, develop these dudes, and you don't have to commit to them. And I like that because some of these one-year deals, maybe a Jerome Baker, maybe a Dotson, maybe a Tremaine, they're going to impress, and they'll be back next year. They might sign a 2 or 3 year contract, and then you build off of that. So they still have the draft. You still have some guys who are here. Let's not forget about the pieces that are already here. And you're trying to find the right mix for the right cost to be competitive and then see what happens after that.
Well, and I think that there are understandably, including myself, a lot of fans who say, well, when I enter into the football season, I like to think my team's going to win every game because winning is fun. Like, I don't want to enter into a season thinking that anything is a rebuild, anything is a step back, anything is going to be like a, hey, set your expectations low. And I don't think that that's what Seattle's doing, but I do think this is a unique year. You look at some of the things they've done, not splitting up, not making Jamal Adams a post June 1st, cut to where his dead cap was accounting entirely for 2024 so that you would have more space in 2025 to go make moves. Little things like that tell you that they very much have a focus on 2025. Does it mean there's not a focus on improving in 2024? No, but you just had someone, Mike McDonald, move into a new house with all the furniture still there, and he might not want all that furniture, and he might be moving stuff around, but you can't change everything in one day. And so you can still have a house that's nice and pleasant and competitive. I can't find another word to use, but it's going to take you some time to build the exact dream team slash house that you want. It's going to take a couple drafts. It's going to take a couple free agency periods. It's going to take some development. It's going to take some intel from young players that you don't have yet. And I think building up that intel and finding out who you are and who you have to work with is part of what 2024 is about. That doesn't mean it's not going to be a fascinating season. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it can't be a great season.
I love me some analogies. So I'm really feeling that house analogy that you put out there. And while you're saying it, I'm thinking, all right, when my wife and I bought our home a few years ago, we didn't have the money to do some things that we wanted to do. Let's just get in this thing and slowly start working on it. And when your boy got a nice little check, she goes, boom, that wall is gone. We're going to open that up. And that's the approach these guys are taking. So I love that. It's just, all right, we're in now. We're in. And we see all the things that need to be done, but we don't have the money to do it all right now. We got to be patient with this. But there are little things that we can do to raise the value of this home. That's exactly what they're doing. I'm jealous I didn't think of that analogy, Stacey, because that one is fire right there.
It just fits so perfectly because there really is this kind of hesitancy you have to take your time doing something. And there's, you never want to start a season, even if you like know in your gut the Seahawks aren't going to win a Super Bowl. You never want to start a season thinking it's not going to be great because that's not fun. That's not why you watch. It's not why you spend a ton of money going with your family to games and a ton of money on jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if you look at it as, first of all, your team's not going to win the Super Bowl every year, but secondly, that you are more likely to get to and win one if you build a solid foundation and build from the ground up. That's what, to me, John Schneider is doing right now and Mike McDonald are doing right now. They're looking at pieces that are saying, which of these guys aren't going to help us for the next 5 years? Which of these guys aren't what I would consider like a championship? Like, we need to have them here. We may not have answers right now, but I don't want these temporary fixes. I want to go find my answers.
Well, I think they do have some temporary fixes.
Well, yeah, I think those cheap free agents.
They got this, they got some guys who will fill the void for now, and they just might surprise you. So sometimes your temporary fix just works, and now you want to support it and reinforce it and grow from it. I look at this offseason and what these guys have been doing, and I see a team with a plan. I know people, we've kind of had fun with, okay, these are names that you're going to have to Google and figure out who they are. But there is a clear plan here that we're seeing. We're not seeing them go out and break the bank for these big names. We're seeing them sign these one-year contracts for guys who have been productive and other guys who might just need an opportunity to grow and to blossom, to develop. And every conversation I've had with a coach on that team, that's on for the Hawks, that's a word that pops up. Mm-hmm. Development, coaching, getting these guys right. And I like that approach because the NFL is a... They want you to come in as a finished product for the most part. I talked about yesterday how I didn't become a better receiver in the NFL from my coaches. I became a better receiver from Bobby Engram, Nate Burleson, my trainer during the offseason. In the NFL, they want you to be ready to go, get to your spot, or we'll find somebody else to do that. And when you are a championship caliber team like the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, these heavy hitters over there, they can expect that because they're ready to win right now. In a situation like Seattle, yes, they want to win right now, but they realize the path is going to be a bit different. There is no straight shot to a Super Bowl here. You got to make a couple stops, you got to stop for gas, get back on the road, maybe switch the route up a little bit. They're maneuvering a bit differently. They're maneuvering as an organization that understands that their path looks a bit different than the 49ers or even the Rams right now. The Rams are more ready to go than the Seahawks. And that's just living in reality. And that's the best place to live in. And living in reality is going to win you a couple games. Some mm-hmm. games that you're not even expected to win.
From the 360, I'm hearing you guys. I will take a team, quite honestly. I don't want to have to put a brown bag over my head on third down on defense and offense this year and build for 2025. Can we ask that much? I don't think it's fair. How do I say this? I am still expecting this team to improve in a lot of ways through coaching and discipline in 2024. I am not expecting a Super Bowl in 2024, but it's because I see moves being made that really focus on growth in 2025 and beyond. And I also recognize that, like, that's the path a lot of teams are going to have to take. Like, the Rams got to a Super Bowl in 2017, or was that the Eagles? Maybe I'm thinking before then. Got to a Super Bowl, lost a horrible, boring Super Bowl to the Patriots, and then didn't get back there until a couple years later in 2020, I want to say, mm-hmm. When they beat the Bengals. The Bengals still looking to get back there, you know what I mean? Had to have a step back last year. Like, sometimes your plan goes awry and you need to reshuffle things, you know, and take another approach. I don't think that means you should expect a horrible tanking kind of year.
No.
I am not. I am personally not expecting that. No. I'm expecting real improvement.
These are professionals. They will be in the right spots. These guys will get them ready to go. But talent is going to be non-talent, I guess. I won't say non-talent. But if you got more talent, obviously you got a better chance to win. I just got to be a little scrappy. And I think that's what this team is going to be, a scrappy team that you can't sleep on.
All right, you're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. I know a lot of you guys are getting ready to fill out your brackets. I am. I'm going to fill it out alongside our guest, Tate Frazier of The Ringer. He joins us at 11. Before we get to that, it's Get Off My Lawn with Michael Bumpus coming your way next.
Bump and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
The Ringer's Tate Frazier joining us in 15 minutes to help you get your brackets right for the men's tournament. Before we get to it, it's time for Get Off My Lawn with Michael Bumpus. Every single Wednesday at 10:45, you got three things that are making you scream, get off my lawn! Because you're just tired of it.
I'm 40.
What's going on today, Bump?
I'm 40. I told my kids the other day I was 40. They're like, no, you're not, Dad. You're 38. I go, yeah, I'm 40, kids. Just embrace it. Embrace the age. And, the first one, I'm going out of Seattle, man. And I kind of alluded to it earlier about the Dodgers or whatnot. The Dodgers and the Padres playing at 3 o'clock in the day morning. Now, I understand it's overseas, right? You got the Ohtani hype and all that stuff. I'm happy to see it. I'm glad. You know, and Ohtani's wife was there. They kept panning in on her. And Monday, Wednesday, Fridays are my workout days. Mm-hmm. So I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to work out. If I didn't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I wouldn't have been able to watch that game. So thankfully, I watched that game. Here's my problem. cater to the people over here, the Dodger fans and the Padres fans, who really care about this game. I know they care about it overseas. I understand all of that. But the season ticket guys are the ones you should cater to. The Dodger fans like me are the ones you should cater to. If I didn't wake up in the morning, I wouldn't be able to see it. I saw Ohtani get a ribby to get him ahead. Mookie Betts did his thing. Freeman did his thing. It was fun to watch. I wish I could have seen the whole thing. But ain't no way I'm getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And it's opening day, right? Mm-hmm. It's the start of the new season. So it really bothered me, man. Why can't they play that when it was 9 p.m., I want to say, over there, where they were at? Why can't they just play the game and adjust and let us enjoy this thing? I bet you the numbers were down when it comes to viewership to this. Everybody wants to see Ohtani. It's the biggest offseason signing, and about 50 people in all of America saw that game because it was too dang early. Even on the West Coast, it started at 6 a.m. I get it. You're overseas. Not even growing the game over there. They love baseball over there. But it's the Dodgers against the Padres. L.A. versus San Diego. Let the fans wake up at a reasonable time. 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Preferably 3 p.m. So they're either off of work, about to get off of work, and they can watch the end of the game. I'm lucky that Wednesday was my workout day, because I would have not watched any of this game. I was on a treadmill, and I was blessed to watch the game. I saw Ohtani in the uni. He looked great, celebrating on first base. It was awesome. Cater to us, not to them. And the game wasn't even sold out. It wasn't even sold out. They care, but not like us. Imagine opening day. You got Ohtani versus the Padres in Los Angeles or San Diego.
Yeah.
Nuts. It'll be nuts. They missed it. They missed it with this one.
I'm
a man.
Agree.
I'm 40.
Can I tack on that my understanding has been, and this is not true for everyone. It's anecdotal. I don't want to hear anyone say, well, I don't do that. My understanding has always been like young people sleep in, old people, like as you age, you just naturally get up sooner and sooner. Like my stepdad wakes up at like 4 in the morning, just naturally.
Automatic.
He goes and watches birds.
Automatic.
You know what I mean? He's 80. And like, I just think that like this is what happens as you age. So there is kind of an irony in an old man get off my lawn segment that says it's too early. Let me sleep in.
Man, and then 206 says, I know DVR. You know it's not the same watching the game live and then replaying it. It is not the same. The energy is not the same. Just cater to us.
Yeah, I agree. What's next?
All right, man.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Thank you, sir. Spring training is almost done.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to hurry up and be done. You know why it needs to be done? Because I want to care. I want to care that Mitch has 4 bombs. I want to care that Julio is batting 435. All I hear is, it don't mean nothing, bub. It don't mean nothing, bub. But it means something to that kid who's batting 002, and he's about to get cut. And I'm looking at the Mariners. I go, man, I'm loving what I'm seeing, man. Even Demo's on the block doing his thing, man. We got Bliss with 5 steals. I want to care about these stats. 12, 13 games, 14 games, 17 games. Too many games. Okay? I want to care. Get this over with. I don't care who they play on Friday. I do because we get off early. Okay? That's the only reason why I care. I don't care who they play on Friday. I'm tired of people telling me to simmer down. Oh, he's not doing good. It don't matter, bump. It's only spring training. Oh, he's balling. It don't matter, bump. It's only spring training. I want to care now. My brain don't work that way. I do not watch a game and see results and not care about the results. I want to care. Get spring training over with. I'm tired of it. Julio looks good. JP looks good. Ty's looking slim. Castillo, get this thing going. Spring training, I'm done. You know what? Who's in Arizona? We still got guys in Arizona?
Yeah.
Guys, come back early. Hop on that flight. Change the flight. Jen Mueller, Shannon Dre, all y'all come back home. It's a wrap because y'all keep telling me not to care. It's impossible for me not to care.
Truly, it is. Like, you cannot tell
a
former athlete, a sports fan, a sports radio host. Just don't worry about it. It's just spring training. I can't not do it.
No.
Love that one. Okay.
Someone says, you sound like a whiny Dodger fan. I am. I am. No denying that.
Exactly. Okay,
third and last one. Man, me and my wife had a lot to do this weekend. Bunch of soccer games.
Okay.
Bunch of soccer games we went to. My son had a golf thing. My daughter had a soccer game. My son had a soccer game. And There's an etiquette that happens in soccer games. This is, and you know, when you have kids, you'll get it, Stacey, Curtis. When your girls start playing soccer, you'll get it, Matthew. When you have 10, you feel like a 10 kid guy, Matthew. When you have 10 kids, you'll get it as well.
We really don't know each other that well, do we, Bump?
No, I'm just putting greatness on you right now, okay? All right, this one needs to happen. When you go to your kids' soccer games, okay, you see what side of the field your kid's bench is on, and your squad sits on that side.
Okay.
All right, the other squad sits on the other side. If one more parent comes to our side of the sideline and starts cheering for little Bobby, who's getting mixed up in the goal, we already got 5 goals on little Bobby, and you're sitting there yelling at little Bobby, it's too late, and you're on our side of the field. Stay on your side, all right? I don't want to have to deal with that. There's a reason why they separate soccer fans and professional soccer, because it goes down.
Yeah.
Soccer fans are something crazy. Even at this level, my kids are 9, 11, and 13. It goes down. If you don't want no trouble, you don't want no funk, stay on your side. I don't care if your kid's the goalie. I really don't care. My kid plays goalie sometimes. I stay my black, you know what, on the other side where I belong, because I ain't trying to get mixed up and hear all the crap y'all talk about our team. Soccer etiquette, stay on your side of the dang field. Thank you, please.
From Dave in, where's Dave texting from? 360. He said, God, I love Bump. 206, Bump is on his game today. My favorite segment on all of radio. Me too, 206. Me too. Seth in Fresno, still the greatest segment on this station. I agree with you, Seth. I'm right there with you. This is a good get off my lawn. It was good energy. Not the most controversial. Last week's was controversial.
They was mad at me last
you had
week.
People on your neck last week. Last week was controversial. This one's just funny. I really laughed out loud in this one. This was a good one. All right, you guys. We are switching gears, talking March Madness with the Ringer's Tate Frazier coming up next. Get your brackets ready and don't go anywhere.